current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome in to Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy and the world's news for Friday, December 13th. Are you kidding me? All right, that's our obligatory scary music for Friday the 13th. On the other side of that scary music is Pastor Mark Kirk. And I'm your host, Greg Hill. Thanks for joining us today. We are almost done with 2019 and exciting. Actually, here's some good news for December 13th, Friday the 13th. Today is the 383rd birthday of the United States National Guard. It is the oldest military organization in our country.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
And my Did You Know stuff, I'm actually going to save for next week, because next week we are doing a Christmas special here because that'll be the 20th, which will be the last show before Christmas.
Yes.
And then I'm going to assume that the Friday after that will kind of be a prophecy year in review.
Yep, year in review. Absolutely.
So you have those wonderful things to look forward to.
It's going
to
be great.
It's Signs of the Times.
That's right.
And always our website, thesigns.org, for everything Signs of the Times related. This is episode 103. Just a housekeeping note. I tried to use a new feature that our streamer provided, and I butchered last week's show, episode 102, so I had to reload episode 102. So if you've had a problem listening to last week's show, that's why. But you know what? If it's not available where you usually get it, there's a new source that we have called iHeartRadio. And if you go to iHeartRadio and just search for Signs of the Times, our new episode is posted there for episode 102. So anyway, lots of ways to get our show.
We're just restocking the stream, guys.
We're just restocking the stream.
Go fishing again this week. Throw the line in. You'll catch some good stuff.
That's right. And we've caught some good stuff for Pastor Mark's main theme, thanks to the world's news.
Oh man.
And that is what happened over in Britain.
Yes.
And what's happening in our government with these impeachment hearings. And I know that sounds odd at the surface that this is good, but Pastor Mark is going to explain to us why he thinks it is.
They are inextricably linked spiritually, and so all we do is see the politics of things, whether it's in Britain or America, and I'm actually going to start in Britain with my viewpoint and kind of curve it in, but the bottom line is, this is God. God is working in a huge way right now in the world, and I want our listeners to be able to recognize what is going on. This is not the politics of America, the politics of Britain, the politics of Israel, having a third election on March 2nd now, set for that, to do a third time, to try to see if Netanyahu stays in or if Gantz gets in or whatever's going to happen.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue.
Every
right
bit
there.
Of this. These are the three major players in the news right now. You see America and you see Israel all the time. Britain is in that as well, because remember, the roots of America go back to Britain, and their roots go back to Jesus Christ. There's still kind of a remnant there. God's still working in these nations a little bit, some more than others. But this is a spiritual event. I want to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. I want to read a few verses here to give this a foundation before we talk about what we're going to be talking about, to show how God is in all of this. Obviously, we know he is.
Yes.
But I want you to see it. I want you to put on those spiritual glasses and be able to have clear vision here. 2020 heading into 2020. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask that you not be soon shaken or troubled in mind, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." People were saying, "He's already come. Jesus has already come." They say, "No, he hadn't come yet. Relax. We're going to tell you why. It hadn't come yet." He says, "Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day," that is when the Lord comes for his church, "it's not going to happen unless the falling away comes first. So the church is going to fall away. There's going to be a less and less of the things of God leading into that. And he says, and then the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition, that is the Antichrist, all right, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship. Remember, he's going to declare that he is God. And Paul goes on and says that, so that he sits, that is the Antichrist, as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So we know the third temple is going to be rebuilt because he's got to have someplace to stand. He's got to have someplace to make this proclamation. He's going to make the proclamation. He's going to be blasphemous to God. He's going to have a short-lived 7 years. I believe when he makes that proclamation, he'll have 3.5 left. I think that's somewhere around the middle of what we call the tribulation time, if you will, although the great tribulation is really only the last 3.5 years.
Yeah.
But he's going to be showing himself that he is God. He says, do you not remember that when I was with you, I showed you these things? Here's the verse that we're keying on, Greg, for our discussion in first half. And now you know what is restraining. I focus on the word restraining. That he, the Antichrist, may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So that the Antichrist spirit's already working that 2,000 years ago.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, think about now. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Now, here's the question. Who is the only one that can restrain the Antichrist? No man can do that. Only God. So what Paul is saying is God is currently restraining the move forward of the Antichrist in his overthrow of the world, is his taking the world over and being the world leader. God is not letting him do it. Satan wants to do it. Satan wanted to do it 2,000 years ago. Satan wanted to do it 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. But the bottom line is God's not letting him. So what's he doing? He's restraining him. And when it's time to move forward, when that restraining power is done, he's going to be taken out of the way, and you're going to see this thing just like a flood. It's going to be like a dam breaking, and you're going to see the flood of the water of the Antichrist and this global unity and global harmony and all this stuff. It's going to come on the scene so fast, but right now it's being restrained, and Greg, we're watching the restraining. Now, I know you want to make a comment. You know me, my sentences go for like 30 minutes at a time, but I can see that I feel a comment.
No, I mean, I'm always thinking of things as you talk because that's just how it works, and I have no doubt our listeners do too, but I just kept... You know, when we think about news headlines, and when you said, you know, he's going to stand up at the 3.5 year mark in this temple that needs to be built and declare himself God.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, and he's going to expect all the press and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what's going to steal the news headlines for the second half of the 3.5 years?
Impeachment of Trump.
Well, it's going to be the bowl impeachments.
The bowl impeachments. You're right.
It's going to be
the trumpets, the bowls, the seals.
Exactly. All of those things are going to
Revelation.
It's all going to trump his news conference, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm God. Everyone's got to worship me, and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. World Leader. We've got to break in because a third of the rivers have turned red with blood.
Yeah,
over the world.
It's going to be an amazing thing to watch. I'm glad we're going to be in the upper seats.
Yes.
Sitting in the kingdom looking down at this but it's going to be, and we will be watching. John was able to see all this when he was there. So we'll be seeing what's going on. I believe it's like a dinner theater. And I don't mean that in a what's the word? Less than serious way.
Jovial.
I can't think of the word.
That's fine.
What is the word? Say it.
That's fine.
What is it?
Flippant.
See, I've got helpers here. I've got helpers. Word helpers. Yeah, I didn't mean to do this in a flippant way. What I mean by that is we're going to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb, feasting with the Lord, and because John could see what was going on, I believe we'll be watching what's happening, and at the same time, we're going to be rejoicing with God at the fact that he's making everything right on the earth and fixing everything that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
Now, he who restrains, God is restraining.
Spirit.
God is restraining the move of the Antichrist. And what does the Antichrist want to do? Now, listen, not all of our Signs of the Times listeners know this. We may have brand new people today. Here's the bottom line. Revelation says he wants to take over the entire world. This is not some show. This is not, you know.
And this is not a new wish of his either.
No, this is not a Marvel movie. This is what the Bible says will happen. He wants to take over the entire planet. There'll be global unity. He wants a one world government, a one world religion, a one world economy. All that's going to happen. He will sit literally as king over all of it, declaring himself as God and even trying to replace Jesus as the Messiah of the world. That's his goal. Now, God's going to let him do that for a short moment, okay? But he's restraining right now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's holding him back until the right moment, and then he's going to let him go, and I believe it's going to be sometime coinciding with the rapture of the church. It's going to be right around there. We're going to be taken out. He'll allow the Antichrist to come do his thing. The church won't be there preaching the gospel other than the 144,000 out of Israel and the two witnesses. They're going to be doing it. They're going to be the world's evangelists, but the church as a whole is gone, and then there'll be some getting saved during that time. I realize that, but again, he who restraining. Now, why do I come back to what's happening here over in Britain and in America? Again, Christians, I want you to hear me on this. You've got to leave politics behind. I know we're political beings. It's in our very nature. But when you think about the spiritual things in Scripture, if you don't lay it down and leave it behind, you're not going to be able to see clearly because you're going to be tainted by your political viewpoint. Lay the politics down the best you can. No human can totally do it. The best you can, lay it down and hear me. The Bible says that right now God is restraining the move of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, Satan is going to be moving politically to get the Antichrist in a political position, but it's a spiritual event that is much larger than anything political or any government. And so right now, God says, no, you can't do it. I'm going to restrain. So here's what happened. Over in Britain, Europe is trying right now to unite as a one European government. Okay, America's in the way.
Yes.
But they want to be a one European Union. That's why they call it the European Union, European government. It will happen, but God is saying, not yet. Not yet. And how do I know that? Because Boris Johnson was just elected. And again, you hear these things politically that he was going to lose and that this progressive uniting with Europe guy was going to come in, right?
Yeah.
He lost, this uniting European guy lost by a landslide. Yeah. Boris Johnson shocked everyone. He won by a landslide, which means this. God said, no way. We're not doing this right now. This is not going to happen. We're not going to let it happen.
Yeah.
So God shut it down. Now, it will happen.
Yeah.
It's going to. But for now, God is saying no. That's the only reason, Greg, this is being restrained, because Europe is unified other than a few holding out, Britain being one of them. Yeah. And I believe that comes into the, we talked about in Daniel chapter 2, the vision of the toes made of partly of clay and of iron, showing they don't adhere. They're going to eventually all come into the mold. They're going to follow like good little countries because the Antichrist is going to make them, but they're not really going to be all in. It's going to be like, I don't really want to be a part of this, you know, but I'm going to do it because I have to. And that's that whole picture of the partly clay, partly iron feet in Daniel chapter 2.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you talk about the European Union there in the 90s, when the euro came to be,
right?
You know, the European Union or Europe is kind of like a microcosm of future prophecy,
right?
Because you've got all of these countries that were so close together and so intertwined that for the financial relevancy of them all, a unified currency was created.
Yeah.
You remember that? And the whole logo came out and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when we saw that, because we're falling apart, we're thinking, oh, my word.
There it is.
You know, there it is. Which clearly it wasn't, because it wasn't in God's timing.
Right.
And that's the key thing.
Satan tried to do it, and God's not letting him yet. He's restraining.
Think about how easy it would have been, though, to say, hey, listen, we've already got one currency. Why not just have one government, right?
There you go.
I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Come on, follow the guy with the horns. Everybody get online.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it wasn't time.
No, it's not time, and that's the point. That's why he's who he restrains. So, the restraining power, I want to start with Britain, so people say, this is why, look, get out of the politics. Look spiritually, and it's easier to look at another country and
see. So Britain's the last holdout to the rest of the quote-unquote European countries that are part of the EU,
They're the last powerful holdout. There may be some others that are still kind of going, because remember, in the 10 toes, in the feet and 10 toes representing
Daniel chapter 2.
Yes, representing these nations coming together, remember. They're all going to be partly iron, partly clay.
Yeah.
So this isn't just Britain. This isn't just one big toe. This is both feet. So it's there. You know, it's because they're both going to stink. All right. So the, you know, again,
true.
And yeah. So either way. So the bottom line is, yes, that's going to. But that's the big holdout right now, is what's going on over there in Britain. Now, at the exact same day, here's where I got excited. You say, Mark, you got excited.
Yes.
I got excited today when the vote went through, and maybe those that are watching, there's a judicial vote that they're going to send now to the Congress to impeach the president. And I'm not excited about the thought of impeaching the president. I'm excited because on the very same day that the impeachment of the president was voted on to move forward to the Congress was the day that we found out that Boris Johnson won by a landslide in Britain, and I see God's hand in both. And that is here's what I mean by that. God is not going to allow the president to be impeached. And now I think they've solidified him winning again for another 4 years. Now, again, this is where, if you got to get out of politics, this is not a political statement. What's happening is what it showed me is because of the anger of the majority of America, what's happening. I know that not all of America, but the majority now, according to the polls, are not happy about this. It has, in essence, solidified the president for 5 more years, his remaining year in office, and I believe he'll be reelected next year. Why is that key? It's not about politics, Republican, Democrat. It's about this. God is using Boris Johnson in Britain to restrain the move of the Antichrist uniting the European Union, and God is using President Trump to restrain America blending in with Europe as well. So you've got this whole stoppage of this blending in. And I think what God has done is, in essence, has given the church a 5-year reprieve. Now, I don't know for sure what's going to happen after that, but I do believe we have another 5 years clearly, unless God, you know, he's the Lord. He can change what he wants. We'll have to wait and see. But it looks like there's another 5 years of restraining the move of the Antichrist in this, bringing the world together in a global government. Regardless of what you think about our president, he is not going to go along with a unified global government. He's not going to do it. So I see God's hand in both of these situations on the same day in two different nations that are the major roadblocks for the move forward of this global unity, this global everything. That's why I say I think we have, in essence, a 5-year reprieve. Now, what's interesting, Greg, I believe personally that once we get to the end of the 5 years, 2025, you're going to see a different president get in there who's going to be very, very open and full throttle behind the global unity. Because what's going to happen is typically when you have one side that's there for 8 years, the other side gets all revved up and now it's time for a new direction.
Right.
So the America's going to be thinking new direction. I believe a president, don't know if he'll be Republican or Democrat, but whoever it is, he'll get into office, and I think he's going to be like, okay, Europe, you've wanted to do this. Let's go for it. By then, Boris Johnson will be out of the picture as well. And I think what you're going to see is, I think very soon, and I think within 5 years, I'm saying even 2025,
right,
because of the election cycles of,
right,
of what's going with the most powerful nation in the world, America,
yeah,
I think you're going to see, you might see the restraining force that God is using and speaking of her in 2 Thessalonians, you might see that removed out of the way. It might be time, and if it is time, man, that's time, and I don't want to have people waiting until 2025 to be looking up. I think the rapture could happen today. But my point is, I think the clock,
right,
for us right now, this earth, is limited and very short, and we need to be looking up. The Lord can come at any time, and I'm telling you, this is going to, I think, go full throttle 2025, world global government. Let's wait and see.
Well, let's talk about clocks for a minute. Let's
okay.
talk about time. Because
am I going too long?
No, we're talking about events, okay? Well, yeah, that's debatable. Anyway, okay, just kidding. We're talking about events. We're
right.
talking about prophetic events.
Right.
And some events, God is very specific on the length of time or the time that it happens. The dates,
yeah,
it just depends on the prophecy,
right?
So we know that the rapture is not tied to a date. As a matter of fact, it says it will come at a time when no one
a day you don't know the
hour, but you know the season.
He said you better know the season.
So we're more than likely in the season, but we don't know the day or the
that's
hour.
That's right. Remember, he rebuked his generation for
yes,
not knowing the season.
For not
just
knowing
want
the
throw
season.
That in for
yes,
our listeners,
that's
ahead.
True. So now we're talking about these election cycles,
right?
We're talking, and we talked about this off air, not even today, regarding Jesus's earthly ministry, the time he's been gone, from the time he walked the earth,
yes,
things of that nature. We've talked about the dates 2032. We've talked about 2022. We've talked about 2025.
Yeah.
All of those things. Now, because the Bible is not getting specific in that, this is basically your conjecture,
yes,
your speculation.
Yes.
However, you do have some ideas. I wouldn't say that you're going to go to the mat over them.
Right.
But I think they're still probably formulating in your
yeah.
mind based on as the news evolves and God's word comes into clearer focus as the news keeps coming. But is there any significance to 2025, 2032 that might have a bearing on anything?
Yes, and again, these are prophetic educated guesses.
Yes, there
so
you go.
So that's the thing. It's not to be totally left out there.
So they're pegs.
Yes, and let me throw one more thing in, because two articles you don't always get. By the way, we need some kind of ticker tape thing over there that you can play when I have stuff you don't have. It's just because I'm going to do that to you, because the show has to be. See, I have to still be the one that brings the special stuff in.
I'll bring that. I'll get that.
All right, I'm just kidding.
I'll get that.
This just in.
Yes.
I got to add this to Trump and what's going on over here with Boris Johnson. Both of them also this week. Part of the reason Boris Johnson was elected was his strong anti-Semitic or Semitic stand against anti-Semitism, because the other group was very, very anti-Semitic. This week, President Trump signed an executive order against anti-Semitism.
That's
on campus.
In our stack.
I know we're going to get it, but it's important to mention now.
Yes.
It's an honorable mention.
Yes.
Because I think it also has to do with God's hand linking with two guys that are standing with the nation of Israel. We'll get to that later, but I had to throw that in there now.
Well, and that's good considering the state of England when it comes to its its Islamic influence over there.
Right, right. Now, anyway, let me just, just for fun, I'm going to throw some facts out there.
Okay.
I got to be very careful. I'm going to, everybody repeat after me. No one knows the day of the hour.
No one knows the day of the hour.
Thank you, listeners. I wanted to hear you say that because I want you to know you're with me. No one knows, but we better know the season. And Jesus rebuked his generation. He said, you can tell when the sky's red, if there's going to be a storm, and you don't know the signs of the times? That was the Lord's quote. That's where we get the name for this show. In other words, wake up. Look around. You should have known the first time the Messiah came and you were blindsided. You should have known that. Shame on you. I wrote it in Daniel, gave the exact day, April 6, AD 32. I told you what day I'd be writing
Speaking
in.
Speaking of specific
and,
days,
And you missed it. And we know that's the day he wrote it on. We now can show that for a number of reasons. We don't have time. The point is, now he said, we better know it this day. He said, you'll know that you'll know the season. You better know the season. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but you better know the season. I believe tis the season. As we always talk about every year, this it is the season. And you ask, what is the significance of 2025? I find it interesting that we know that Jesus was crucified in AD 32. Okay, that means our clocks are off 1 year. Really, it should be AD 33 because he was 33 years old when he was crucified. Scripture pretty much makes that clear. But we're off a year because we didn't have the proper records. Now we have recently found records that show when Herod actually died. We now know that it should be at minus one rather than zero, which means 32 was actually 33. Not to confuse you, but by our dating methods today.
Okay. And what about 360-day years versus 365-day years?
Well, that only comes into play prophetically because, because by this time, they were going on a 365-day Julian calendar with Rome. So we had, I think it was Julian, but we had the Roman calendar at the days of Jesus. They were going by 365-day by that.
By that time.
Yes,
okay.
By that time.
Okay.
The 360-day year stopped in 700 B.C.
Okay.
And a lot of people speculate why. Interesting, some people think because of the shift of the polar with the, and that's a whole other thing because that's happening right
now. That's happening right now. Anyway.
All right, so. So, but here's what's interesting about this, gang. Listen to me. According to those who have done the numbers scripturally, those who have looked at the scripture and who believe the Bible literally, Jesus came 4,000 years into this process. He died in AD 32. That means 2032 is 6,000 years that the earth has existed. Now, I got to be very careful. Repeat after me again. Nobody knows the day or the hour.
Nobody knows the day or the hour.
Okay. But I'm not predicting it. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying these are facts I find undeniable and very interesting. We are reaching the 6,000-year point at AD 2032, according to historians and recordians. Sounds like something you should play. Anyway, so with that said, that's if you take the Bible literally. We see in Scripture that Jesus is going to come back and rule again. He's going to rule for 1,000 years. And so we know seven is the number of completion. So for those that are prophetic scholars, take the Bible scripturally. They believe that six being the number of man, that is mankind running the earth for 6,000 years, Jesus getting to run it for 1,000 years. We have that completed number at the end of 7,000 years. Then we have the new heaven and the new earth that he's going to create that will live in forever. All right. Now, here's why that's interesting. If you look at that being 6,000 years, which would mean that would be the return of Christ that year. Again, I'm not saying, no one knows the day they are. No one knows the day they are. I'm making sure I don't want anything to be misconstrued here. And, you know, but the bottom line is that if you back up from AD 2032, 7 years, because the rapture of the church and the final 7 years of God's judgment, you come to what year? 2025. Now, realize, again, I'm only giving facts. I'm not making, I'll let you deal with this. You out there listening, you deal with it how you want. That's the year we get a new president. That's the year I believe the world's going to go all in on this Antichrist spirit and world leadership. And if that does happen, I find the timing and the year of that very interesting in that that would be right around the time, let's keep this nebulous, right around the time of when you would think the church would be raptured, 7-year feast in heaven, the Lord comes back. Again, if it is exactly 2032, as we think, if he came back exactly the year of a 6,000-year ending, sometime in that year, whenever that was, you would have the completion, if you will, of this earth as we know it heading into the millennial kingdom. Now, again, I want to just say again, I'm not writing a book. I'm not saying it's going to happen then. And I'm already, it's probably already going to be hard.
Your name's not Harold Camping.
It's probably already going to be hard to, it's going to be hard to pull this back in because people, Mark's naming. No, I'm not. I don't know. I could be so wrong. It's ridiculous. So wrong. Okay, I want everybody to know that. I'm not predicting the Lord will come back in 2032. I'm not predicting that the world will become a one-world government in 2025. I'm saying, I as a prophecy buff of 30 years, I look at this and I go, I just want to put the information. I want y'all to know this. What do I do? Do I pretend it's not there? And he didn't say we wouldn't know the season. The point is this. We're very close. I know we have 5 more years, I believe, where we're going to be protected, at least in our government, as Christians. We're going to have 5 more years, at least, I believe, of restraining the moving forward of the Antichrist. And that's up to God. But if he keeps using our president and men over in Britain, like Boris Johnson and all these others to do that. And it's interesting, 5 in Scripture is the number of grace.
Yes, it is.
And I believe that God has now given the church a reprieve and a moment of grace to share the gospel, to be bold for the things of Christ, to proclaim the coming of Christ, not to name dates, not to write books. No one knows the day or the hour. We're all in agreement on that. But to look at some of the things that are staring at us in our face about some of the facts and say, all right, we don't know exactly. Maybe something's not right here. But either way, however you look at it, whether it's 2032 is 6,000 years or 2040 is 6,000 years and somehow we're off on our dating or 20 whatever. We're somewhere near that 6,000 bell.
We're in the ballpark.
And when that bell rings, if God holds to that whole picture of 6 being the number of man, 7 the number of completion, we know he's going to rule 1,000 years. Be ready, guys. Everybody get ready. And not just get ready. Take these years that we've got left, whether it be 5 or whether it be 2 or whether it be 1 or whether it be 20. Take the years we have left that God is restraining the move of the Antichrist and preach the gospel boldly. Get out there. Share your faith. Don't be afraid of what people think of you. This is like our last moment. It's almost like God saying to the church, I'm giving you a last moment to make a strong stand for me so that you can be proud when you stand before me. I'll be proud of you. You're my son. You did it, whatever. Not a bad pride, but something where we're not ashamed.
Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yeah, where we're not sitting back and hiding going, oh no, I'm afraid of all these people and they won't like me if I stand up for Jesus. Listen, you may only have a few years left or less to stand up for Jesus. You're going to be glad you did it, because when you're standing before him, and there you are, it's Jesus, it's you, you're going to say, you know what, Lord, I knew the time was short and I went for it. I mean, I jumped in both feet and I'm all in. Or you can say, well, Lord, you know, everybody's been saying that Jesus was coming back and everybody says, I just didn't think you really were coming back right now. So I really wasn't doing anything. I was really busy with work and I wanted to pay our house off by 2026. How did I know I'd never make it to 2026? So I was doing my best. And then here I stand. Okay, you got in. But what could your reward have been? What could the welcome in the kingdom have been? What could your attitude have been? How could this have worked out? And so I got to, again, I'm in a very precarious place here, Greg, as I finish up the first half, because I want to share these things I'm sharing, but I really want to be very cautious and kind of almost back away to some degree. I'll never back away from saying, make sure we're ready.
Right.
But when I look at what's happening historically and the fact that I take the scripture literally and what I believe God's laying out, I will say this, forget dates, forget years.
Right.
I believe the scripture is saying we are so very close. Christians, be bold, be strong, make a stand. This is your time to shine. The curtain is open. The stage has been set. It's showtime. There's no more prep. There's no more rehearsals. It is showtime. Do the best show you've ever done for Jesus Christ. Live for him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love him the same way. And let's see how many people we can coax into the kingdom of God. Then he comes back. And now we sit back and enjoy the dinner theater. 7 years of a feast at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We watch God finish his whole thing out and take care of the Antichrist and those who follow him. We rejoice in that. He comes back. He sits on the throne and we rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. You couldn't write a story like this. There's no movie you can go see. There's no play. This is real and it's God Almighty and we all get to be a part of it if you're in the kingdom of God. This is exciting stuff.
You are a wonderful pitch man for the movie, Pastor Mark.
Well, I guess. Yeah.
Well, folks, thanks for staying with us. We've got articles of interest to discuss and tie them to God's prophetic word as Signs of the Times continue. So don't go anywhere. Israel in the News is up next.
YAMLP.
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. A brutal act of anti-Semitism took place in Jersey City, New Jersey on Tuesday when two gunmen opened fire at a Jewish kosher market. Fox's Tanya J. Powers in New York City.
A police officer and three bystanders were killed in a gunfight between police and two gunmen that left people running for cover in Jersey City with the sound of heavy fire going on for hours. It started near a cemetery and continued at a Jewish kosher market, which Jersey City Mayor Stephen Fulop says was targeted. He cites surveillance camera footage to back that up.
We could see the van moving through Jersey City streets slowly. The perpetrator stopped in front of there, calmly opened the door with two long rifles.
He says that's when the gunmen started firing into the market. Both of those gunmen were later found dead there, along with three bystanders.
At least one of the gunmen had posted anti-Semitic and anti-police hate online prior to Tuesday's shooting, confirming the assault was indeed a targeted attack. Political gridlock in Israel is causing the government to move toward an unprecedented event. Fox's Simon Owen explains.
Israel heading for a third general election in the space of a year. The Israeli parliament approving the move in a preliminary vote with more votes to follow. The last two elections have been inconclusive. Neither Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu nor opposition leader Benny Gantz managing to build a government. The new election expected on March 2nd.
The U.S. government suspects that Iran is responsible for a series of rocket attacks on joint U.S. and Iraqi military facilities in Iraq. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo condemned Iran during a press conference at the State Department on Wednesday.
As long as its malign behavior continues, so will our campaign of maximum pressure. Today, I'm announcing designation of three Iranian transportation companies that helped Iran import items for its weapons of mass destruction programs.
So far, nine rocket attacks have been launched on or near Iraqi facilities in the last 5 weeks, the most recent this past Monday. President Trump addressed the American-Israeli Council in Hollywood, Florida last weekend. While there, he spoke on global terrorism and his plan to end it, starting at the top.
My administration is also confronting the world's number one state of terror. You know who that is? The brutal dictatorship in Iran.
President Trump also highlighted the U.S. Embassy move to Jerusalem, as well as his administration's goal of fighting anti-Semitism to support Israel and the Jewish people. This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Find out how you can help the needy in Israel and the former Soviet Union celebrate Hanukkah by visiting israelinthenews.org. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times, episode 103 for Friday, February 13th, 2019. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for staying with us. If you hear extraneous noises in the background, that's because we broadcast from within a church, which is Calvary Knoxville, and they are hosting their, I don't know, fifth annual, fourth annual, something like that, mini annual.
Yes.
Resolve Women's Ministry Artisan Market. It's a Christmas market. So if you are listening actually live right now, and you live in the Knoxville area, we obviously invite you to come down starting, I think, at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah, 5 o'clock tonight.
From 5 to 9, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
we've
got one for tomorrow.
That's right. The live nativity starts at 5 as well,
even though we saw some things that said 6, some things that said 5.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing.
Hey, just come at 5. You're welcome.
And drive through. Even if you don't want to come and look for extra Christmas gifts and be a part of what's going on, drive through. Look at the nativity. Drive back out. It's very nice. And they're doing a great job on it. Real live. You said live animal.
There's live nativity.
Yeah, they're not stuffed animals.
No, they're not. Not stuffed animals. Unlike us. Stuff from lunch.
That's right.
Anyway.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's get into our articles of interest. Ezekiel 38 and 39, we talk about a lot on this program. This article, dated December 9th from jpost.com, says Russian Su-35 jets scrambled to stop Israel over Syria. Oh, the soap opera of Ezekiel continues.
You're not kidding. Again, the reports claim that Israel fighters had to flee from the Russian Su-35, which I think is baloney. I read a quote from it. I don't think they fled from anybody. I can see them maybe getting out of that area not to cause a problem, but trust me, those fighters don't flee from anybody. They don't have to.
Right.
They have the best jets in the world. They, by the way, they buy ours and they modify them and make them better.
Exactly.
And we've got the best jets in the world, so they have better jets than we do.
Yes.
No kidding. Anyway, they're saying that Iran, that was delivering some unknown air defense system to Syria, and that Israel was coming in to wipe them out, and Russia ran them out. The reports claim the Israel fighters had to flee. At the same time, Iran delivered the systems. The incident occurred over the T4, the Taurus base east of Homs in Syria. The base is a well-known transit point for Iranian weapons and has Russian personnel at it. Israel has been accused of striking the area in the past, which they've done. In May 2018, Ynet, a news agency there, said that Israel had carried out an airstrike to destroy Iranian 3rd Khordad air defense system at T4. Syria claimed more airstrikes hit the area in June and July this year and September last year, and they did. Here's the bottom line. I don't know how much of this is true. They may have gotten out of there. I don't think Russia ran them out. They may have wisely avoided a conflict, but here's the bottom line. Iran is still bringing weapons in, and if Russia is scrambling jets to stop Israel from stopping those shipments, it has escalated with Russia.
Yeah.
Because Russia used to let Israel come in and take those weapons out. And if Russia is now saying to Iran, you can bring the weapons in, and we'll send our fighters up to stop Israel from stopping you, this is a new escalation of Russia's uniting with Iran in a very open way against Israel, which, again, goes right in line with Ezekiel 38 and 39, so keep your eyes on it.
Well, and the town of Homs in Syria is very interesting as well.
That's right.
Because that's where the Islamic faith believes that their 12th imam is going to come from.
Some say from there.
From Homs.
That's right. So
it's interesting that they're building it, like, sounds like some sort of military stronghold there.
Because they do. They say that the 12th imam is going to come from a well in the ground, which is interesting. A well coming up out of the center of the earth, if you will, bringing in the 12th imam, which they believe will rule the world even as we have a Christ. They have a Christ as well. They believe he's going to come. They come to the 12th Imam, and they say it happens there in Homs. And if you buy that, and you're buying, Middle Eastern, if you're Homs buying in Middle East, then you believe that story, whatever the case might be. But it's interesting that the base is right around there, and because Homs does have a Muslim prophetic meaning.
Right.
And so that's very interesting. But again, just more escalating, more uniting. And anytime, guys, anytime.
And if you're not buying it, then it's Bah Humbug.
Okay.
All right. Some anti-Semitism news. If you were listening at the top of the hour to Israel in the news, they obviously talked about this shooting that happened in the kosher grocery store there in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just kind of more and less of the same. It's an interesting mix here. The first story comes from Fox News, dated December 7th. Former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley suggesting Canada has made a deal with the devil by backing an anti-Israel U.N. resolution. Please explain, Pastor Mark.
Yeah, again, this whole Canada, deal with the devil. Former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley suggesting this week that the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government has made a deal with the devil in a recent decision to back an anti-Israeli resolution at the U.N., and I quote, I speak from experience when I say the United Nations presents many such opportunities to strike a deal with the devil, she said to the UN. A gala there in New York on Thursday, she was telling the audience about how often it's just easier not to rock the boat for them instead of standing up to the mob. And they cited Canadian vote as an example of this cultural corruption playing out in real time. Again, Canada comes up dry. Canada has been for a long time balanced and fair-minded towards Israel at the United Nations.
Good.
It has opposed the pull of the anti-Israel culture, she said, but that changed last month. In other words, Canada's been holding out, doing the right thing, but now it's changed with this Trudeau guy, which, by the way, he was one that President Trump said was two-faced.
Yes.
Because when he was nice to him when he saw him and he was mean afterwards, I find that interesting because he's the one that was accused of wearing blackface and whiteface, literally two-faced.
Yes, two-faced, yes.
But anyway, that changed when Trudeau government chose to vote for a resolution called the Right of the Palestinian People to Self-Determination, sponsored by North Korea. Isn't that interesting? List the countries. North Korea, Egypt, Nicaragua, Zimbabwe, and the state of Palestine. North Korea leading that. What does North Korea have to do with Israel and Palestine? Listen, You see, you know, the Bible talks about the throne of Satan. I've often said I believe right now the throne of Satan, he moves in different places around the earth in different seasons.
Because he can only be in one place.
When you look at the most wicked oppression for God and the people of God in the world today, you might think Muslim nations. No, it's North Korea.
North Korea.
And I believe that may currently be, from the outside evidence, the throne of Satan right now. Isn't that interesting that that's the nation leading this whole thing to against Israel for those opposing Israel? I find that very interesting. The resolution calls for an end to the Israeli occupation. You mean the fact God gave them the land? And refers to the U.S. ally as an occupying power. Haley noted that Canada had voted against the resolution for years and said the resolution challenges the legitimacy of Israel, and she was surprised that these friends would do that. So I'm not surprised. They're not really friends anymore. So you're seeing, again, remember, it tells us in Zechariah, which I was reading just this morning, all nations, including America at some point, will turn against Israel. And I believe in 5 years, we may see America turn against Israel. Whoever comes into office, I think, is going to have that kind of unifying world anti-Israel approach.
Yeah.
So we'll see, again, as that plays out. But the bottom line is, you're seeing this more of the world now openly turning against Israel and talking about the right of the Palestinian people. And, Greg, before we go on, I got to make a comment on this. Our listeners need to know this. There has never in world history been a Palestinian state. It's never existed. People are, especially newer generations, they don't realize that. There has never been a state of Palestine. Where did it come from then, Mark? I'm glad you asked. Here's the bottom line. Palestine, we get from the word Philistine. When Hadrian was the emperor, one of the Roman emperors, he hated the Jews so much, he said, I'm going to rename Israel Philistinia, after one of their greatest enemies, the Philistines. That name translates now into Palestinia or Palestine or the Palestinians. So in essence, we're calling them Philistines. We're saying that Israel is now occupying the land of the Philistines. I mean, it's ridiculous if you put the real meaning of these words in there now, because there are no Philistines. They no longer exist. They're completely gone genetically and every other way from the planet. You can't find a Philistine today. They don't exist. And God said he would do that, and that's what happened. Now, the reason they do this is because since he called Israel that land, Palestine, what they did was, after, of course, then the fall came in 70 AD, and it was still Israel. But what they've done is they've resurrected that name. They let that name stay there since the Roman government put it on it. And it is used as a political tool to say these people are really the Palestinians. It's interesting. Before Israel became a nation, they called the Jews, guess what? Palestinians. Many people don't know that. The Jews were called Palestinians prior to them becoming a nation. Why? Because all it meant was is the people that live in that region. But it wasn't a signification of a nation or a state or a real people group. It never was. It's just the area was called. It'd be like Halls. You're a Hallsinian. You know, I mean, whatever. It was a regional thing, okay? So then what happens, and what happened was, is that now they're reusing it. It's used for political means. And so they say they are Palestinians because that means, hey, this land has been called Palestine for 2,000 years since Hadrian, so or almost 2,000 years since Hadrian, 100 and something A.D. So that means that we belong here, that we really was whatever. But they're forgetting the people that lived in the land ancient and were applied to it, they were the Jews. God gave them the land. And these that are they're calling Palestinians, they're Arabs. Yes, they may be called people of that land with that name, but don't be tricked by the political verbiage used here or the political nounism used here. The bottom line is, and I know I'm being silly in these words, don't stumble. There's never been a Palestinian state, and there are no real Palestinians even in existence today in the sense of Philistines. It's just people like the Jews and the Arabs that lived on the area of land that Hadrian, because of his hatred for the Jews, renamed Palestine. This whole thing is a farce. But anyway, I had to mention that in this because I want to make sure our listeners know that.
Okay. Next article, Pastor Mark, you kind of teased in the first half. Multiple sources are citing this, but this one just came from ChristianHeadlines.com. Trump to sign executive order against anti-Semitism.
Yes, and let's talk about that because one of the friendliest presidents to the Jews ever, President Trump, not only did he move the embassy to Jerusalem and you know, say that's their capital and start recognizing Israel in all these ways, he's now saying we're going to take action to protect Jews on campuses, by the way, who are being attacked on a regular basis on American campuses, and it makes no sense. It is spiritual. This is the spirit of Antichrist. That's exactly what you're watching. It is demonic, and the president, not knowing it's demonic, maybe, I don't know, is standing against it. I'll read the article. As anti-Semitism is on the rise in the U.S. and abroad, President Donald Trump will issue an executive order this week to protect the Jews by redefining Judaism as a nationality and not just a religion. Now, why is this huge? He's already done this. I believe it's already been done. But why is this huge? Well, with the order, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1963 will now apply to any campus discrimination against Judaism, because they're attacking the Jews all over campuses in America. Religion is not a provision in the Civil Rights Act. So the redefinition of Judaism as a nationality, again, the Jews, Israel, etc., which is true, or race, paves a way for the government to restrict federal money to educational institutions should they allow discrimination. Interpretation. If you campuses start discriminating openly and you approve and allow them to march against the Jews, you can't have any more government money. We're pulling your funding. I love what he's doing. He's standing up for the nation of Israel. He's standing up for the Jews. He's standing up for where God is standing. And people often say, well, wait a minute. You know, we need to make sure that God is on our side. Well, you know, we need to really make sure we're on God's side. And I can tell you this, in this area, our president is absolutely 100% on God's side. And when you stand with God, there's going to be blessing, and we're all going to reap that blessing because our nation will be blessed. Genesis 12, verse 3, those who bless you, Israel, I will bless, and those who curse you, Israel, I will curse. As speaking to Abraham about his descendants. So this is exciting stuff to me. And I know this makes Satan so angry, but I love it. Yeah. I love it, love it, love it. Thank God for our president making stands like this. It is amazing. And this is that window of opportunity I was talking about. We need to take advantage of this as believers. This is not going to last forever. It is a short window, and it's going to shut really hard when it shuts.
Okay. All right, Pastor Mark, our last article for anti-Semitism comes from jpost.com. This is dated December 9th. Turkish President Erdogan is bashing Israel and calling on Muslims to unite against the West.
Well, again, no surprise there. Believe me, if they could wipe us out, they would. God's not allowing them, because he who restrains is now restraining. But again, in a speech to the Organization of the Islamic Cooperation, Turkey's president, and you know, what a name. I'm just calling him Erdogan.
You know, it is Erdogan.
I know.
Recep Tayyip Recep Erdogan. Tayyip,
but it's just Erdogan.
We're going to say, yeah, okay, there you go.
He slammed Israel. Well, how come everything, I'm going to pause, I'll get back to the article. I said, well, how come everything in the news has to be slammed?
You know, maybe because guys write for the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, WWE or whatever.
So-and-so slams. It's like WWF or something.
Yeah, well, WWE now.
Oh, is it WWE?
It's
okay.
WWE.
What was WWF?
Well, that was the predecessor.
Okay,
and now it's WWE.
You see, it's
Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment.
You know, ever since I stepped out of the ring,
yes,
I left it all behind.
Yes,
I threw away the outfit.
You did.
I haven't been back in the ring. I've done so. I didn't know they'd even changed it. So anyway,
but although if this show was a wrestling ring,
yes,
you are known for jumping off the top rope.
Yep, Lord of the Ring,
and giving the flying elbow.
There it is.
To some of these prophecy
there it is.
Lord stories.
Of the Ring, I was invisible. I would just disappear. Boom. Just
yes.
like you know. Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Back to the art. How did we get there? Me. It's my fault.
Okay.
I'm a part of the
we're just following your lead.
I'm part of the ADHD TV generation. All right, here we go.
Okay.
In a speech to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, Turkey's President Erdogan slammed Israel and called for Islamic unity against the brothers and sisters to confront the West and conspiracies against Islamic countries. Turkey's ruler insinuated that Turkey was a victim of terrorist attacks because of its principled stance against oppression in Jerusalem. Ankara claimed that it is a lone voice standing up for the Palestinians today. Turkey has warm relations with Hamas, again, a terrorist organization. The Hamas member Salah Aruri arrived in Turkey on Sunday. He has been accused of involvement in kidnapping, murder, and other forms of terrorism, and just an all-around good guy. I put that part in. Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas, I can't say his last name. I'm sorry. No, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm in a silly mood today. Sometimes this happens. And Greg, I've gone overboard.
Ismail Haniyeh
of Hamas also
there
came to Turkey with Aruri and Musa Abu Mazouk and others. As a part of a large delegation. Ankara has also asked NATO to condemn terrorism, but hosts Hamas. Erdogan, condemned terrorism. They host Hamas.
And this is why I don't eat it.
You know, think about it. I know. We're getting back
I don't eat hummus.
But here's the thing. You bring in a terrorist organization and say, let's all condemn terrorism. Okay, let's just, that's long enough to think about that. Let me read a little bit more. Erdogan claimed that Israel was making the situation in Jerusalem and Palestine worse every day. He said that Israel doesn't recognize justice, law, rights of humanity, and that they're just not killing enough people. I added that too. I'm sorry. And that it deepens the crisis in the region against Muslims. Turkey is seeking to champion Islamic countries against Israel. Ankara has claimed, we will never stop defending the rights of the Palestinians and standing in solidarity with the oppressed. Again, this whole thing, what do you say? The bottom line is...
It is what it is.
Yes, and you see, not only we talked about the whole world turning against Israel, but the bottom line is you see now, again, their neighbors around them getting more and more aggressive. Yeah. And Greg, it's going to get worse and worse. And by the way, Turkey's one of the nations that's going to come in with Russia and Iran. They're specifically mentioned.
They're mentioned in Ezekiel.
You've got Libya, and you've got Turkey, and you've got Sudan, and these, they're going to be coming in well as other nations attacking Israel very soon.
Well, haters are going to hate.
That's right.
What's interesting? If you've ever been here on a Wednesday night and listened to Pastor Mark work through the Bible and get through the Old Testament, all of the unbelievable names in the Old Testament, and they just roll off his tongue like he's been speaking them his whole life. He gets a hold of these articles, and it just stumbles you. It's amazing.
Sometimes.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. Pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption.
Yes.
AlJazeera.com, December 8th, several dead and hundreds of homes burned in Australia's mega fire. And that's could be an understatement, that word mega fire, when you read the statistics on this.
Now, what about, I don't have that article.
Oh, it's article number 7.
Article number 7.
In our stack of stuff.
I bet I accidentally erased. Read the headline again, and I read them all so I can comment on it. I don't have it in my notes for some
reason. Had been a fire raging out of control. I don't know what the latest is on this. In the Australian state of New South Wales.
Okay.
Firefighters are dubbing this a mega fire, escalating the destruction of the country's worst fire season on record. More than 2.1 million hectares. Basically, that's 5.1 million acres have been scorched.
Yeah.
Almost 700 homes destroyed, six people killed since the fires erupted across the state in September.
Okay.
And this date is December 8th. So this thing has been raging for quite a while.
Yeah, and maybe I erased it and forgot to tell you because I didn't see a immediate prophetic significance, but I do remember that article. And here's the deal with that. I think probably the reason that our article collector put it into our stack, because I do it as well as someone else putting them in there, is because the Bible does talk about in Revelation, there's going to be massive fires consuming the greenery and the trees around the earth.
I'm sure
his mindset here's kind of an intro, here's kind of a sample, but I didn't see it in my stack as important enough for today, so I erased it, so I apologize, but that is a legitimate, we are going to see, as again talks about in Revelation, we're going to see the majority of all greenery on the earth at some point destroyed during the Great Tribulation, which, by the way, will not be man doing it.
Right. It'll be God.
God is going to destroy the environment, which will make people that don't understand the word really upset. Yeah. But that's what the Bible says.
But when we look at earthquakes and we look at fires and we look at water pollution and things like that we see today.
Right.
Those are just previews of coming attractions in our prophecy theater because it's going to be on an unbelievable scale. And again, it can only be God because to the scale to which the Bible depicts these things happening, man could not possibly do himself.
Prophetic Trailers by Greg Hilt. That's got to be a segment. Prophetic Trailers. That was great.
Coming to a theater near you.
There you go. We need some kind of,
okay. All right. Breitbart. Right? It's Bright. And his name's Bart. No, it's not. Breitbart.com, dated December 11th. I was trying to get Pastor Mark to say something, but he's joking.
He's got a friend.
He's got a friend
in
there.
I can multitask.
Okay. German bishops are pronouncing homosexuality quote unquote normal and quote unquote unchangeable.
I just had a conversation with a friend about this and the warnings for the church, and I'll comment on that in a moment. But listen to this. This is amazing to me. Even for the Catholic Church, which I know has many things that don't line up scripturally, we've talked about that, and I'm not attacking the Catholic Church, it's just a fact. But the German Catholic Bishops Conference has issued a statement declaring homosexuality to be normal as heterosexuality, while adding adultery can no longer be considered a serious sin. Again, sexual issues, just remove them from the table. In other words, both the homosexual and heterosexual orientation, and I quote, belong to the normal forms of sexual predisposition that cannot and should not be changed by any specific socialization. Here's what they're saying. Some people can't help the way they're born. They can't help it they're born that way, so we have to accept them. It says, the bishops embraced the findings of a study group of sexual morality chaired by Berlin Archbishop Heiner Kolch, which will form a starting point for the synodal way of the church in Germany to rethink Catholic teachings and praxis for the present day. And that, and yes, I didn't mispronounce that, not practice, praxis. There was an agreement that the sexual preference of humans is expressed during puberty and assumes a heterosexual or homosexual orientation. Here's where they're so wrong, Greg, and we just have to nail this down right now and just be very upfront about this. Here's the bottom line. There is a strong push to normalize sin, any kind of sin, in the world today, and sexual sin especially. And we see this repeating, you know, back in the days of all the gods and the different gods they had, sexual sin was a major player in all of those forms of worship. It's coming back, and it has to do with the sin nature of man. And what you have to first do is normalize that sin, then justify that sin, then be accepting of that sin. And what they're saying is that although the Bible says homosexuality is a sin, although the Bible says that adultery is a sin, the supposed church is saying, we've changed our mind, we don't think these are sins, and people can't help it. Look, God's word is the authority, not man, not any supposed church statement. God's word is the authority, and when they're putting themselves in direct opposition to the word of God, they are walking in the spirit of the enemy. This is Satan's spirit. It's not God's spirit. It is to be rejected by the true church. And let me also say, and finishing on this, we have to be able to make a stand in the days in which we live, not in some obnoxious, rude way, not in some way that cuts off ears or shuts people down where we can't reach those that are lost in any sin they're lost in. But if the church loses its saltiness, if we don't make a stand for what the Bible says is right and the Bible says is wrong, there are going to be people making choices, Greg, to really condemn themselves eternally. We have to let people know the Bible says this, and interesting the wording, do not be deceived. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. Homosexuals and adulterers.
Fornicators.
It goes down the list, but I'm listing those two specifically.
Yes.
Will not, this is not may not, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Translation, if you're living in either of those sins, you won't go to heaven. Now, you can jump up and down and say whatever you want, but the only way you can deny that is to say the Bible is wrong. And if you're going to say the Bible's wrong, there's no further discussion, because this is the word of God. It is our standard. And it's sad to me to see that Satan not only has our culture now accepting this,
mm-hmm.
now he's got elements of some, that those who picture certain groups as being the church or the representative of Jesus, they're actually saying, now they're going along with it and saying that it's okay. This is very insidious. It's very evil. It's a mark of the enemy and must be rejected at all cost.
You know, I've got to wonder to a certain extent, you know, you've got these churches over there that are dying in Europe. You know, you got to wonder if they're making these stand to keep people in the churches.
You know, I think, Greg, you're right. I think that's part of it. And I also think it's to avoid persecution.
The fear of man.
Paul made a point about circumcision.
Yeah.
The Jews were giving the church a hard time saying, you need to be circumcised. And they were persecuting them because they weren't getting circumcised. And Paul makes a point. He goes, look, if you want to lose persecution, you want to get on, then go get circumcised. But if you want to stand for Christ, I'm putting this in my own words.
Right.
But if you want to stand for Christ, you do that. You're saying basically we're to come back under the law. You're walking away from God. We're not under the law. Yeah. Don't avoid persecution and deny the word of God because you're going to be persecuted. You've got to stand, and we have to make a stand regardless of how persecuted we are. We must make a stand.
Yeah. All right. Our last article, Pastor Mark, ChristianHeadlines.com, reporting that 23,000 Cambodians heard the gospel at a Franklin Graham Festival, and more than 1,300 gave their lives to Jesus.
This is so exciting. Cambodia is a very, very lost place. And so to see what God did through the Franklin Graham Festival, again, we love ending the show with this good news. More than 23,000 heard the gospel, which is fantastic, and 1,396 made the decision to give their life to Christ during a two-day Franklin Graham Festival in Cambodia, 98% that were Buddhist. The Love Phnom Penh Festival with Franklin Graham was December 7th, and the guys continue to pray. This is a very evil area. Their leadership used to be under Pol Pot, who the whole movie The Killing Fields was about, where they just massacred. Estimated 2 million people died. Only about 200 Christians survived the atrocities of that time, and now we have the gospel preached to 23,000. Over 1,300 giving their life to Christ, almost 1,400. Tremendous. Continue to pray for Franklin Graham, who's making a strong stand, and for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association that has inroads around the world, and we're seeing God in the midst of all this ugly stuff. God is saving his people. God's bringing his children home. He's building his church. And by the way, if you are not a part of this church and you're hearing this today, know this. Jesus died for you. He loves you. And all you have to do to be in the kingdom of God is to confess your sin to God. Turn from that sin. You have to repent and turn from it. Believe that Jesus died for you, not just the sins of the world, but you, and receive him as Lord and Savior. And if you do that, you will be saved. And unlike those in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you will inherit the kingdom of God. We invite you. And if you want to talk to somebody, call Calvary Chapel in Knoxville. We will pray with you and talk to you right now on the phone. Give us a call. And God bless you guys.
Folks, don't forget, next week is our Christmas special as we look at the Christmas prophecies of Jesus on Friday, December 20th. In the meantime, have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn more signs of the times.